This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com, live on location at UTEC IT. If you have any IT needs, whether it be having UTEC take care of your IT services or help with your existing staff, manage printing services, copiers, printers, any of your business needs, our friends at UTEC IT can take care of them. Right now, they're taking care of our tournament watch party need, because we have 9 screens in front of us that can all be put in sync and be one big screen, which is what we're going to have to do when the Michigan game comes on. Joining me to talk about that Michigan game, to talk about the NCAA tournament, the best roundtable crew in the land, the MGO Blog Roundtable crew. Starting off first with Brian Cook. Brian, how are you?
Good. Yeah, let's go. Basketball.
Seth Fisher. Seth, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I hope everybody having fun with my bracket tool, which I got no sleep this week putting together, because I'm that nerdy when I get to a spreadsheet.
Hey, man, they allow you to, you know, these computer models that you can plug games into now. I kind of feel like I'm cheating when I do it, but it makes life so much easier. Seth, do you use those?
I don't even bother with that. I like to use matchups. I like to see the 5 guys on the floor.
He just writes his own.
I made my own. Yeah, but it's not the math part. The math is just averaging out like other people's things. Like I got Ed Feng's numbers in there and stuff like that. But I mean, what I like to do is see the 5 guys and then see the other 5 guys and be like, okay, well, you know, do they have a really good defensive wing who can shut down the one guy who can score on this team? That's how I
put Wisconsin.
Of course, you nailed that one.
the roundtable crew is not complete without talking about the venerable Craig Ross. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. It's I've heard the weather's changed in Ann Arbor, which is nice. It's real nice here. I'm in Hawaii.
Look at that, Ira. He's in Hawaii. well then. Right? All right, so we got the news yesterday that Devontae Jones is out for this game, at least on the heels of one of the bigger collapses we've witnessed Michigan basketball have in recent memory. So against that backdrop, Brian Cook, how are you feeling about this game today, Michigan versus Colorado State, to open up tournament action here on Thursday?
Well, I mean, I still feel like this is a relatively good matchup, because Colorado State, like, they have a 6'6 big who looks like he gets kind of neutralized by size against San Diego State. They don't really have anyone to defend Hunter Dickinson. The Frankie stuff is, like, what happens when they double off Frankie, right? Like, you can kick it out on your skip pass to Frankie Collins and, like, then what happens? Mm-hmm. And the answer can't be takes a 3. So can he get into lane, draw some help, either dump it off to Dickinson again for either a repost or just a layup, or can he find someone else who can shoot? Now, Frankie's given Michigan some pretty important minutes over the stretch run here. You know, he had a couple of buckets against Ohio State. He had that extended period when Devontae had foul trouble in that game, and he was able to be a pest defensively, which I think is important, because the second banana on this team is their point guard. So if you can stay in front of him and really bother his pull-up game, which I think Frankie was probably going to be more capable of than Devontae is, then I think you might be able to make it work. I mean, Michigan beat Ohio State without Hunter Dickinson, right? Like they can beat a good team on a neutral court without Devontae Jones. But it is, you know, he's been playing so well, and Frankie is sped up still, right? And then slowing down a little bit for him, but not quite fast enough for me to be super enthusiastic about what's going to happen today.
But Brian just highlighted, Seth, he just highlighted, that is a huge advantage, maybe the biggest advantage of the season for Hunter Dickinson. Is it overly simplistic to say feed Hunter the rock and that can be the key to that should be the key to victory?
Well, especially because the way Colorado State likes to play defense is they're going to double off. They're going to double down on him because Deshaun Thomas is not going to be able to hang with him in one-on-one. And who they're going to bring down, well, it's going to have to be David Roddy. You get a couple fouls on that guy, and that's it. That is done for Colorado State. They're very, very interesting offense. He took like half of the stuff that Beeline runs. So what they do is they pull their forwards out as the guy's crashing into the lane to create all that space. And then it really just becomes David Roddy versus whoever's guarding him. Well, I think Michigan's a terrible matchup for them, even without Devontae Jones, because Musa Diabate is one of the few people who could probably hang with David Roddy. And like I said, you shut him down. All they got is their point guard, Isaiah Stevens. And Frankie kind of helps there a little bit. Like, this is not a team. They're a very Beeline-like team. And Beeline teams struggled against teams built like Michigan is now. It's weird, like, how quickly we've turned around. But this is the sort of team that I think Colorado State did not want to face. This is, like, the worst possible 11-seed draw they could get.
Yeah, right? I agree with that, Seth. I listened to Brendan Quinn's talk earlier, and he thought the game was a toss-up or that Michigan might even lose, if I heard him correctly. Pre the Devontae injury. But then you look at Colorado State's schedule, and they played five games against teams that Michigan had played. They got killed by San Diego State by 26. They lost to UNLV by 14 at home. They beat San Diego State by one at home. They lost to UNLV by 21 on the road. And they lost to San Diego State in the tournament. And those we beat UNLV by 14 in Vegas, and we beat San Diego State pretty easily. I think the final was 14 in Ann Arbor. So it's hard to look at these two teams just off of that and say, oh yeah, Colorado State's going to win, particularly when Colorado State, they've got maybe what I would consider one really good win on the season, and that's they have a win against St. Mary's, who's a good team. And so I don't see it. I don't see what Brennan is seeing. Roddy is a good player. He's 6'6", 250, and he shoots it at 45%. But I think, like Seth says, Michigan probably has a shot at checking him with Musa. And I don't know what they do inside. I mean, they double, obviously. And then the question is, can someone from Michigan hit a shot? And that seems like a game-by-game reality for Michigan. You know, sometimes the answer seems yeah, and sometimes the answer is not even close. In terms of Frankie, you know, it's interesting. Basketball people always talk about, we all talk about it, about the game being too fast sometimes for younger players and the game slows down. He's the opposite. He's too fast for the game. and that's when he slows down, I think, at least to some extent, I think then in some context, the game may slow down. But this is obviously, you know, he's got his chance here. And I don't know if Michigan wins, I don't know if Devontae is back for the following game.
You know, I'm thinking, so admittedly, I haven't been able to check on this yet. How did they go to, maybe you guys know this, how did they get to Indy? You know, Ira's speculation was, I mean, the NCAA, they charter the flights for the tournament. So if it's a flight, then it's not necessarily indicative of the odds of Devontae playing being low that he didn't travel. Like, you don't get on a flight when you have a concussion, right? Now, if they bust and he didn't get on the bus, then I would be a little more concerned. But I think Ira's right. I think they flew. And on top of that, when we talked to Phil yesterday, obviously he knew that Frankie or that Devontae wasn't going to play in this game, but just the tone and the tenor of his comments about Devontae made me think that he's probably feeling like, yeah, he won't go today, but if they win, if they beat Colorado State, then he'll be available on Saturday. I don't think that's call it educated speculation. Okay. That they feel pretty good about the possibility of him playing come Saturday. We'll see. But what about playing more Terrence Williams in this game? You said you need some more shooting. Terrence Williams feeding the post and being the shooter out high, especially. I was, you know, really, I don't know, a little confused why he didn't play more of a role against Indiana. Didn't see Kobe in that game either. You know, I wonder if maybe those guys are bigger factors in this game with the doubling of the post that Colorado State's going to have to employ. And then the other thing, and I want you guys to comment on this, just don't freaking stand around. Some cutters to the basket. I mean, Hunter is a plus passer. He's like a quarterback. So it's not predetermined that he only passes to the three-point line. I mean, guys cutting to the rim off of doubles, that can work too.
Yeah, especially, you know, Frankie is not a guy who you're like, ooh, this guy should be our cutter and our finisher usually because he's a 6-foot point guard. But with his athleticism and his shooting, that's something that might be a viable option, right? Because he's a guy who can gather. You can throw him an alley-oop. This has happened already this year. So, yeah, Michigan's going to have to get, I think, a little creative. I mean, the thing about Terrence Williams and even Brandon Johns is that they're also decent bets to check Roddy. So not a whole lot of guys have the kind of size and athleticism combination. And these guys aren't Musa Diabate, but Johns in particular has been pretty decent defensively of late and has that kind of combination where if Diabate gets in foul trouble or just there's going to be moments where he needs a rest or he's playing center because Dickinson's on the bench, those guys are going to be important. And honestly, like, I know Brandon Johns has been abysmal this year, but if he can get back to anything that happened in the tournament last year and pick up fouls like he was picking up fouls last year on Roddy, I mean, those could be some really important minutes for Michigan. So, like, they're going to need help from an unexpected source with Devontae Jones out. And that might be it. It might be Caleb Houston. It might be Terrence Williams. But somebody's got to step up.
I wonder if things are going to be a little different with Frankie, just because they actually got to practice with Frankie at point guard this time.
That's like, a good point.
I mean,
good point.
Plays so differently. You know, he plays so sped up, and so many times he goes into the lane and then dishes, and the guy who got it actually got it in good position, but he bobbles it because he's not ready for what Frankie was going to do. And maybe like the practice.
Nobody is ready for what Frankie does. Not even Frankie. The opposition, his teammates.
But I mean, I think I said this on a podcast or one of our radio shows or something prior, but that I thought Frankie is going to be more effective next year when Michigan is building around the fact that he's their point guard and using. And if you go into the game expecting him, then your game plan doesn't have to get thrown out because he's such a different player than Devontae Jones. Not entirely. Jones knows how to break down the lane, but if you're practicing at Frankie's speed, I think you'll get a few more buckets. I think you'll have a few, you know, two fewer turnovers in a game matters a great deal.
Sure.
As far as Terrence Williams, he messes up defensively sometimes, but if he's locked in, he is a great guy to check Roddy because he's one of the few people in basketball who's kind of shaped like Roddy. Right? Like the guy is like a linebacker, and you're not really used to someone like that barreling at you.
he's a defensive end. He is 260. Yeah.
Craig, so but it sounds like all you guys disagree with. It's a tougher matchup than it was without Devontae, but it sounds like all you guys think Michigan's going to win this game. Right about that?
Well, I don't want to disrespect Colorado State, but one thing that I think plays into is that Michigan's in Indianapolis and they're playing an altitude team, right? So the altitude teams have a major advantage at home. They're usually a little overrated when they get to the tournament and they play away from where their home is. And I do think that sort of the overriding thing that gives me confidence here is that Diabate versus Roddy is a matchup that Roddy hasn't anticipated. And if you go back and you look at what Roddy was doing against San Diego State, he was throwing up just garbage. And it was Geo Baker on a good night. But if, you know, he's taking those kind of shots over a 6'11 guy, I think Michigan wins.
Okay. Seth? Yeah.
I mean, when I'm making my bracket, I thought about putting Colorado State above Michigan, partly because I'm in a bracket with a lot of people from Michigan. So, you know, you're going against a lot of people are going to overrate the home team. So that's always like one of those bracket exploits and a good way to pick up some cheap points. And Michigan, and I don't think either one of these teams is going to get past Tennessee. So it's cheap points. But when I look at the two teams and I'm trying to guess who's going to win, I would say 60-40 Michigan, plus the fact that Michigan lost their last game. And as we all know, there's only one stat you need for Michigan is did they win or lose the last game. So there you are. Yeah.
Death, taxes, and win-loss for Michigan, right? Those have been constants. Craig, you sounds like you buy Michigan winning this game.
Yeah, before I came on, I was thinking no, but I've sort of talked myself into it. I sort of talked myself into a Michigan win here. You know, I just look at Colorado State's record, and there's just not that much in it that is, regardless of the wins, that's all that impressive to me. I mean, you can't keep beating bad teams and losing to decent teams as they have and assume that they can really play. Roddy is an interesting one, too. He is a 45% shooter from three, which is right at the top of the country.
Right.
And he's not a good free throw shooter. He's
a 70% free throw shooter, so it's not.
He's 69%,
terrible.
So he's worse than me if I go out and tomorrow. Okay. And so it's not a good free throw percentage. It's just below average. And I think 71% is an average free
throw. Roddy's one of the most interesting players in the country because you go on his synergy profile and he's 90th percentile or above as a post up guy, a pick and roll ball handler. As a off the dribble jumper guy and as an ISO guy. Yeah. And I can't imagine that there's anybody else in the country that has a reasonable number of possessions in all those situations and is 90th percentile or better. So he's extremely skilled. He's a problem for almost everybody in the country. And I think Michigan is maybe the worst matchup for him, as long as Diabate stays out of foul trouble.
Yeah.
So I no disrespect to that guy. I think he's an amazingly fun basketball player. I'm hoping that Michigan has the answer.
Yeah, we have Phil Martelli, as you guys know. We have Phil Martelli on every week. He was on yesterday. He said, he's E.J. Liddell and Keegan Murray and you throw in Ron Harper Jr. It's like, wow, is this guy going to be the first pick in the draft? He's all those guys.
He left out the fact that he can drive on you, right? He's good in ISO situations, too. So, they're going to – I think I used every single possible graphic that I could or icon that I did for my graphic. I just kind of kept on throwing the little because he's a great assist guy too. I do want to point out his turnover rate goes up a lot when he starts playing higher level opponents. You have to go back to last year to look at it because they only played like San Diego State and Boise State and they didn't have a whole lot of good opponents as Craig's pointed out a number of times. But Roddy's turnover rate shoots up the more defense you put at him. And I think, like Brian says, I want to respect the guy, but Mountain West.
So, yeah, I mean, the Mountain West is not, they're kind of in between a mid-major and a high major. So it's not like we're going up against a Horizon League team that's only beaten up on teams that are bad. But Roddy's O rating does drop like 15 points when you get into KenPom, I think, top 100 games. So it is a situation where he might have some athleticism and size issues that get exposed against teams that can bring NBA level talent to the floor, and Michigan is one of them.
Gotcha.
Iggy Brazdeikis is another comp that you could bring up for him too. Like he takes over the game that way, and you remember Iggy getting shut down sometimes against athletes who could keep up with him.
All right, so we all have Michigan. Moving on to round two, where I think Tennessee is underseeded as a 3 seed. I've watched them as Kennedy Chandler, a former Michigan target. You look at what he did at Kentucky. They've beaten Auburn. I mean, they've beaten Arkansas. That squad, to me, because they are so good defensively and they have a point guard that can take over, we've seen three-point shooting emerge on that team. Their limitation is can Rick Barnes get it done, right? That, to me, their limitation is the sideline. But I really like them Who do you guys like? As you look across the tournament landscape, you look at your bracket, who are you bullish on in this tournament? Like, man, that's the squad that I think is going to make a run, starting with you, Craig.
Well, you know, I haven't seen every team in this tournament. I've seen a lot of them. But the team that's played Michigan the best, and that, and when I have seen them at other times, I think is the most likely, although I think there's probably 30 teams that can win the tournament, is Arizona. I mean, I thought Arizona just pounded us and just took us apart. And in other Michigan losses, I didn't feel that way so much. I felt often like, we just didn't play well. We got crappy officiating. But not, Arizona just killed us. And so that, and other times when I've watched them, I thought, yeah, okay, this team just has it. And Tennessee is a team that I agree with you, Sam. I think they're a good team. I wonder if about the Rick Barnes factor there too. I guess the other team that I like is Duke. I mean, really? Partly, yeah, not because I think they're well coached, because I don't think they are, but I think you've got the Tom Osborne factor going there, and that you may see. I don't trust these tournaments, and
it didn't help him in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, I know, but that might all be a setup.
Okay. All right.
You know, I just think that the NCAA will want to see Krzyzewski going out on a high note. And I think that's going to be sort of in the background of on all of these games. So while I don't think they're a great team, I think obviously they've got a couple of really good players. I mean, the guy, what's his name? Banchero is probably going to go Banchero in the top three in the draft. I think the other kid, Keels, is erratic, but he can be really good. So yeah, I like Duke, but mostly I like Arizona, at least on the top. I know most people probably like Gonzaga, and yeah, they'll probably make some sort of a run, but every time I watch them, they stink. And so I'm not convinced yet, especially given the fact they played a pretty tepid schedule too.
So, Brian, who are you bullish on? And is this the year? I mean, is this the year Iowa makes a run? Are you buying that Iowa actually plays enough defense?
You're asking me if Iowa's going to make a run.
Always. He's always getting me to pick Iowa.
No, I mean, I mean, this is before the year, I'm always like, Iowa's going to make the tourney, right? Like, they're going to be good enough to make the tourney. Are they going to make a run? I don't think so. I'm bullish on Auburn. They just need someone to hit a shot who's not Jabari Smith. But they have a 6'10 guy who's a top three pick in the draft. They have Walker Kessler, who we're all familiar with. Walker Kessler has a 19% block rate. One out of every five opponent shots is blocked by Walker Kessler. And they have a couple of guys surrounding them who are historically better three-point shooters than they have been this year. They've just been on a real kind of slide. But even if you look at that, okay, they lose at Arkansas in OT. That's a top 20 KenPom team. They lose at Florida by one. They lose at Tennessee by five. Like, those aren't games that it's like a really good team couldn't mess up. And before that, they were 10-0 in the SEC. They finished 15-3. Like, they have two-point defense in the country. Like, and they have the cake draw to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm. Could it have worked, Brian? Could it have worked, Walker Kessler to Michigan? Because that was... They looked at him. He showed some interest, and he was transferring from Carolina. And
could it have worked?
Could it have worked?
No, because he's a center. Like, the stretch stuff that he had as a recruit did not translate to college. So Michigan could never be the landing spot for a guy who's going to do that, right? Because he needs 30 minutes a game, and Michigan has 10.
If Hunter went to the league, that was probably the play.
Yeah, yeah. But so Auburn is, I think, a great pick because the Wisconsin is their three, like, right? Like,
I mean, how early do we all have Wisconsin going out? Because I thought I have them getting past Colgate, and I even had to think about that one. But Colgate's terrible. Yeah.
So
what's the latest on Johnny Davis?
What
like how is he
injury-ish?
Yeah.
I haven't heard.
the devil usually doesn't put out press releases on his works. He just kind of does it. So we'll see. But you know, Wisconsin, they're I mean, they got LSU coming up. Like that, I don't see them getting very far. But like Brian, I mean,
LSU
Auburn
doesn't have a coach, right?
So yeah. Yeah, and Brian mentioned like Kansas is the one in that bracket too. So Auburn's not a hard pick to, I mean, at least get that far.
Yeah, I like and Auburn a lot for all the reasons Brian said. They could
just
make a
just
run.
In terms of like an easy pick to the Elite Eight, Auburn I think is the easiest on the board. All I also right. like Davison because
really?
I don't want to have to root for Duke in the round of 32. Davison to the Sweet 16. This is not an emotional pick. I have good reasons for rejecting that Foster Lawyer will beat the team that he transferred from and then Duke single-handedly.
Have any of you guys actually seen Davidson play this year?
No.
I haven't either.
No, me neither. So I'm just curious what Foster Lawyer has looked like because in the
Foster
Big
Ten, Lawyer is statistically amazing.
Yeah,
he's shooting 45% from three on huge volume. So
was this just a mistake by Izzo, or was this?
Well, no, we saw what he looked like in the Big Ten. He looked like
he looked
a child.
Terrible.
He's playing at a lower level, man. Yeah. That's what happened. Look, Izzo, the Spartan fans who he's deriding for how hard they were on Foster, they were right. It's not like the scouting report on Foster Lawyer's changed. The competition that he played is what changed. Now that doesn't mean that he can't catch fire against this Spartan team. This isn't your typical Michigan State team. So could he muster an upset, type performance? Yeah. Will I predict that? No. Ira, I know he came in this week talking about the Richmond game, right? Ira Richmond Davidson. He said, man, Richmond athletes were giving Davidson problems. So if Richmond athletes were giving Davidson problems, won't Michigan State's athletes give him problems? That's how I kind of see this one going.
Here's one factor for that game is that Davidson's only a couple hours. It's a less than 2-hour drive to Greenville. So I think there's going to be some Davidson fans in that building. I think that they're going to maybe outnumber the Michigan State fans. And I think that Tom Izzo...
Well, and all the Duke fans will be pulling for them too.
Right.
So it'll be a hostile crowd.
Right. But also, I mean, Tom Izzo, the bigger the game, the more he tries to take over. And that means he starts playing his worst players and tries to be more Tom Izzo. So like as the stakes go up, the Tom Izzo effect...
Marcus Bingham's going to get 6 minutes in this game.
I hope Tom Izzo coaches forever. It would not be the same. The college basketball life wouldn't be the same without Izzo.
I need to go back and revise my Iowa take. I do think they're going to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Because they have maybe the worst ranked KenPom 4 seed of all time in Providence.
Yeah.
Who's the luckiest team in the country, won a ton of tight games, isn't actually very good. And they have a very, very low ranked 12. So, like with Keegan Murray, I think that guy just overwhelms those two teams and they get to the Sweet 16 and then they get nuked by who's their one seed?
Kansas.
Yeah.
I don't know. San Diego State's in that bracket too. I think I had San Diego State upsetting Kansas for that one.
Not a bad shout either. They have the number 2 defense in the country. They're very long. They're athletic. If they hit some shots, problem is their offense is like, I mean, we saw it, right?
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. But going back to Providence quickly, their point guard is Al Jai Durham. Do you remember him from
at Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the guy who's running their offense. The Big Ten's seen that guy before.
Yeah. I always liked him, though. But and the numbers are the numbers.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to squeeze a break here. When we come back on the other side, Seth, I want you to say who you're bullish on and give me which Big Ten team you think gets the deepest. And we got to get some Michigan hockey in because they exercised the demon. Michigan women's basketball hosting tournament action coming up on Saturday. A lot more to get to on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The ticket.
Clear.
Man, Denard is back in town. I saw Denard yesterday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's like, yeah, Denard is back. Lace is back. So, no, it was good to see him. It was good to see him.
I wonder what preschool his kids are going to if we could transfer.
Yeah, he said, man, when I was at Jacksonville, every time I touched the ball, the Lions fans were cheering for me. He said it was the craziest thing. He said it's like this Michigan thing. Like this is home. This is absolutely home. I think he's gonna be the kind of presence in the recruiting department that court was gonna be. Mm-hmm. That court was gonna be. So, you know, he doesn't have court's sort of recruiting connections, but power of personality, he'll pick him up.
Yeah, court's got 10 years on him or more. Like right. Courtney's my age, but yeah, Denard, we did that podcast with him on the 2011 season. And he was talking for a while about, like, his son watching the Michigan games and, like, you know, down here, no one knows. I mean, he's from Florida, right? Like, that's his hometown. Mm-hmm. And he's like, down here, no one knows Daddy. No one's like, you know, they see me in a Jacksonville Jags and they don't even know that I'm part of the team. And, like, so he fights Michigan fans all the time who come up to me like, your dad's Denard. So he's like, really one of the greatest people to come through the program, man. And like as him recruiting for us, I think that's going to pay dividends.
Super genuine dude. He said, hey, you know, if it's me, if I got to choose one running back to pick up a blitz, he said, who do you think I got?
Vince.
Vincent Smith.
Of course. Exactly. That one wasn't any hard. Running
back. Give me Vincent Smith. Any running back, you can give me any Michigan running back where they played for with me or since. He said Hassan Haskins is a dog and all that. I want Vince Smith. That's who I want. He said he told Borges that. Give me Vince Smith. And they had Thomas Rawls and some other bigger guys. And give me Vince Smith.
Vince Smith couldn't have weighed more than 180. I mean, it's pretty.
That was Smith's thing. I mean, that and the finger guns was like, you know, okay, that's not a hard one for us.
Yeah,
it's funny how, like, those guys, you know, because the Rich Rod era doesn't bring up a whole lot of love for Michigan fans, but...
It does not.
But, like, those guys are some awesome dudes. Like, the guys that Rich Rod recruited, for the most part, are, like, very beloved people. Like, I'm thinking Roy Roundtree, like, anywhere he goes in Michigan, people are excited about him. Like, Vince, you know, they have some just really cool dudes who came through the program around then.
Yeah. That was a great pickup. I don't think it's as great as Borges thinks it. Borges is like, that's the best hire Harbaugh's made since he's been here. It's like, come on, Al. That's your dude. He hasn't made a better hire.
I mean, he was the quarterback's coach when Denard was quarterback. I mean,
he was
Jerry
like,
Hamlin thought Harbaugh was a good pick, too.
I don't think Al Borges could do a cartwheel if his life depended on it, but he'd do well for Denard because he was like, man, this is going to make a difference for Michigan. All right,
Borges is like, all right, put him under center. Let's go.
I'm going to tell him you said that. By the way, he said, hey, man, he wants you to come to a film session next year.
I'll do it.
He said, tell Seth to come to a film session.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I'd be down for that. I'd even keep my mouth shut.
He doesn't want you to keep your mouth shut. He said, hey, man, that dude knows enough to be dangerous. It'll be fun, but
regardless of anything else, I think Al is a good guy, and he, you know, he knows football. That's for sure.
You remember his relationship with Haco. I remember getting in the car after the Ohio State game in 2012, which was, you know, terrible offensive game plan, and we were going to say some things about it. And Haco got in the car with Ace and me, and it was like, all right, what are you guys going to say? Because, like, that's his boy, right? Like, that's his buddy. Like,
yeah.
And Ace was like, well, I just wrote a one-line gamer, so you can read that and see. And then you could see Haco, like, pull it up on his phone and, like, his face just falling as he's looking at this thing like, man.
What's Haco doing these days, by the way?
He's curing cancer.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
What do you think that guy was going to do?
You know, he could
do a break here in a moment. Stand by.
He could do the Grant Newsom. Grant Newsom, I got to write this. So the Democratic Party wanted Grant Newsom. And who else wanted him? There was a Fortune 500 company that wanted him. He turned them both down to coach. And Jim's like, are you sure?
All right, here we go, guys. Stand by.
All right, so back to the MGO Blog Roundtable. Seth, you're next up. Who are you bullish on in this tournament, regardless of conference? And who in the Big Ten conference do you think is going to go the deepest in this year's big dance?
I was Brian already used Auburn. I'm going to say that just because he's staying with Jerry Hinn right now, and he's going to appreciate that. But
this is a real opinion I have. It's not just my friend.
But yeah, no, I was already bullish. I said Auburn already, but I like Purdue coming out of the East. The East is a mess. It's just so many teams. Like, they're a Michigan short of all the you don't ever know which team's going to show up teams, right? And out of all those teams, everyone loves Virginia Tech because they finished so hot this year, right? And I love picking against the team that finished hot because they become a darling in everybody's brackets, and then they go out because they were not that good, and they still got a bad seed, and then, like, you get all those free points. Purdue is a good team. Jaden Ivey, when he is locked in, that guy can take over a game, and then, you know, you've got those two bigs. So, you know, I think Edie is a problem for everybody, especially a lot of the tall teams are there. I think Baylor, the one seed, is super injured right now. They don't even know if Kendall Brown is gonna play, and like that means they're only six deep at this point. They have nobody else who can play off their bench. So you get them into a game against UCLA or something, or North Carolina, who can like just throw a ton of dudes at you. I don't like Baylor coming out of that that place at all. So I think Purdue over Virginia Tech, Purdue over UCLA, and then
Purdue over Kentucky.
Yeah, Purdue over Kentucky too. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think the size is too big.
Purdue's second round matchup is against Texas, not UCLA.
I had them against UCLA in the Elite Eight.
Oh, in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, after Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think Kentucky's gonna hate Purdue's size.
I think Purdue's a good pick to get to the Sweet 16 pretty easily, because do you know who Texas's starting center is? Christian Bishop, who Michigan played when he was at Creighton. Christian Bishop is 6'7".
Yeah, he's destroyed.
Bishop does not shoot threes. How is that going to work against Zach Edey? You can't lift that guy out of the paint. You can't rebound it against him at all.
I don't think
Zach Edey is going to put up 60 points against Christian.
I don't think they get by Virginia Tech.
Yeah, maybe not.
I got Purdue, and I'm really in. I think it's going to be an intriguing matchup. How does Oscar Tshiebwe do against the size, the combo of Zach Edey and Trevion Williams? It's going to be a battle. I think Purdue wins that one too. I'm with you, Seth, on that one. All right, fellas. Great stuff. I want to squeeze some mention in of some other teams. Before we go, at least one member. Who was that, Ira, that picked Michigan on the women's side to make the Final Four? Was it SI? SI picked Michigan to be in the Final Four. You guys buy that on the women's bracket?
How is Haley Brown feeling?
Who's
Leah Brown.
Leah Brown. Sorry. I always mess up the Browns. I'm sorry. How's Leah Brown who's feeling? That's the answer, right?
I forgot.
Yeah, I think South Carolina. South Carolina is probably the darling pick for a lot of people. Can Michigan get by South Carolina? Ira Weintraub jumping on the microphone.
Thankfully, here. South Carolina is actually in the other bracket. They're on the top left. Okay. Michigan's in the bottom left. So it would be a Final Four matchup. Michigan's bracket would be Louisville's the one, Baylor's the two, Michigan's the three. Obviously, those are all tough outs. But he did. It was one of their writers did pick Michigan to win the region. Yeah. And he why not?
I hate to say it, but I don't see it at all. Maybe it's just the games when I've watched, but they don't value the basketball. And this Michigan team has talent. It's maybe the best Michigan team ever, but they just don't value the ball. They turn it over, and they turn it over again, and then they turn it over again. And so I just don't – I hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to see them make a run. But I'm just not optimistic.
I don't think you're wrong, Craig. I think Sweet 16 is where you're obviously the initial starting point. You're playing at home. Mm-hmm. I think after the Sweet 16, it's a tough matchup.
Yeah, they'll make it.
And protecting the basketball will be the number one thing that will be the difference if they win.
Where would they want to run into Louisville?
They would run into them in the Elite Eight in Wichita.
They could make it there, but.
So, look, to me, I guess one of the factors to keep in mind is, you know, some of the ebb and flow for them has been with Leah Brown either out or with recovering, mm-hmm. right? And so she's had 2 weeks She's had 2 weeks to further mend. She has 2 weeks to get back in sync with the team. Because that to me was glaring down the stretch of the game against Nebraska. It's like, man, they tried to run for Leah, and you know, one they throw out of bounds, or they throw the inbounds pass away, and then the other one, you get a jack three. It's like, you know, this is clearly a team that's not in sync with their go get it player, the player that you give the ball to and say go create. Hopefully that they're back in sync in that regard. She's healthier. If both things are true, I think they can go on a run. Hockey, Brian Cook, looks like they have exercised, from my outside novice perspective, they exercised the only demon that I saw. They're talented. They have veterans. They've been tested. Their depth, they've built it even. They're even deeper after they had their guys go off to the Olympics, and we saw some other guys really emerge. This team has everything to be the champs.
Yeah, they do. And honestly, that Notre Dame game was not a whole lot different than the other Notre Dame games. Michigan dominated in terms of territory. Notre Dame made absolutely no mistakes. And there was just a couple of turning points. One was that 5-on-3 where Michigan rings the inside of the post, and you're like, oh, here we go. But they shut off the spigot for Notre Dame. And so Notre Dame doesn't do a whole lot offensively unless you give them transition opportunities based on neutral zone turnovers. And Michigan, I don't know if they gave up a true odd man rush in this game. So they beat Notre Dame at their own game. They were content to put the puck down and chase it. And they got a great goal from Brisson to go up ahead, and then they shut the door. So Notre Dame had a total of 4 shots in the third period. And after that game, if you go look at goals per game average allowed, Michigan is on par with Notre Dame. That's 2.1 goals per game each. So I think the kind of perception we had about what Notre Dame was able to do to Michigan was probably a little bit off, but it does emphasize the fact that a single elimination hockey tournament is just terrifying. One thing, Michigan has a home regional for basketball this year. They will be playing in Allentown, Pennsylvania for hockey. And Mel Pearson, who nobody on College Hockey Twitter likes anymore because of the Western Michigan cancellation, said at his media availability, he campaigned for the regionals to go back to campus sites. All of College Hockey Twitter is like, yes, please. Going to a 3/4 empty arena in the middle of nowhere is not good for the sport.
So does this have a realistic chance of happening soon? Could this be in place next year even?
No, because they have regional set up for like the next 3 years. But more and more people are talking about it, and it is unfathomably arrogant for a college hockey tournament in the era of COVID, where most of these teams are not making money, to pass up the opportunity to have 4 packed rinks instead of what we have now, which is a joke. It is the worst tournament in sports.
Amen. I mean, I'm glad we can't talk about this enough. I mean, you have 11 of 16 teams in this tournament that are Ann Arbor or West.
Hey, man, here's why I'm laughing. I want you to finish, Craig. The disgust that you're expressing, Brian, is like so in lockstep with every, I mean, Spath is like ready to swear on the air every time he talks about the college hockey tournament. This is terrible. This is ridiculous. He says they're stupid. Sam, this is the dumbest thing that the NCAA, one of the dumbest things they're doing, echoing the sentiment that you just expressed, Brian, which brings me to the point of, if everyone feels that way, how did they get to the point of getting away from campus sites to begin with?
Well, what happened is that Yost hosted twice,
mm-hmm.
and that Michigan was not a one seed for any of those, and they came out of those regionals in some of the most electric sporting events I have ever been to.
Yes.
And they were like, that's unfair, so we can't do this anymore. Maybe it was a little unfair, but the solution was not to go play in Nowheresville, like Loveland, Colorado. The solution was to let the top seeds host, like they do in baseball, like they do in women's basketball, like they do in almost every other NCAA sport that is not football or men's basketball, which do have enough fan base traveling support that you don't need to do that. But we're talking about hockey here. It's time to have some humility, and it's time to let campuses host.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, the in the best sporting event I ever saw in my life was a doubleheader in Ann Arbor in hockey. Ohio State played Michigan State in the first game, and Michigan played North Dakota in the second game. Mm-hmm. It went until about 2 a.m. and that was, you know, one of the, it was just electric top to bottom. And there's no reason why college hockey can't say the regular season means something. And we're gonna play these events, and they're gonna be 2 out of 3s maybe as you get towards the end, as opposed to one games at the end, and all of a sudden you may make some money as opposed.
Yeah, I don't know if the 2 out of 3 thing is ever gonna happen, because most schools who play hockey are not going to want that. They're going to want the one-off, because it's more random. Because that's how you get Union and Providence and Yale winning national titles. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
except for the same school, and that's why no one cares. I'm winning, so
yeah, but that's why no one cares about college hockey, because Union and Quinnipiac are going to win a national title. I mean, I was saying before, you got 11 of 16 teams in this tournament that are from Ann Arbor or West. And the highest rated team in this tournament is probably going to be Quinnipiac at around number 7 from the East. And we're going to play in Albany, Worcester, and Allentown. I mean, you're better off playing in Allen Park than Allentown. I mean, this
well, you know, at some point, you do have to point the finger at Michigan's athletic department, too, because they should be bidding at Toledo's ECHL arena every year.
Yeah, I agree.
And eventually they will get some of those. And if it costs Michigan a little money, you're the University of Michigan. You have it.
Doesn't cost that much. If Allentown, Pennsylvania can keep
afford it. Yeah, if Allentown, Pennsylvania can afford it.
Yeah. All right. Let's take this kind of passion over to Michigan basketball, right, which is going to tip off here in a couple of hours. Looking forward to that. That's going to do it for us on today's show. Always a spirited roundtable. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a Michigan victory here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.